Hi everybody, welcome to Core Life Spiritual Weather Report. It's November 20th, 2022, and this is Brad. I'm here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and looking forward to reconnecting with old friends and family here, and I'll be heading to South Africa in January. So really happy to be back in the place where Leslie and I lived for 25 years. It's just a delightful, magical place if you've never been to Santa Fe. So I send you that energy during the call today. It's a very mystical, wonderful place. So anyway, welcome. Welcome to everybody who's new to Core Light, and welcome to all of our old friends as well. And gosh, what an amazing time we're in. I know I always say that, but it's always true. When I tune in on the collective, it is just extraordinary what's happening on the inner planes. And I have heard from many of you feeling the same thing. I'm hearing about how well you're doing despite changes and challenges and, you know, all the different things we're facing in the world. And gosh, when you attune to the energies on the inner planes, you can really feel this magic in the air. The shifts are happening into higher consciousness all the time, even if it doesn't look that way on the surface. But I think nothing is as it seems right now. So it's a very inspiring time. It's a very exciting time. And the shadow is continuing to rise to the surface, so that we can review it and we can shine our light on it and transmute it. And this is a time to practice feeling grateful for the incredible gifts and opportunities that we're receiving amidst all the changes and the challenges in the world. But I don't want to get too much ahead of myself. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, and I'll get into that later. But for those of you who might be new, every month I tune in on what's happening in the collective consciousness, and I'm always shown a few themes to talk about on these calls. And today, the seven themes, they're all mostly focused, interestingly, on spiritual detachment. It was very, very clear that that's what we needed to talk about today. So here are the topics. I'll read them to you. What is spiritual detachment? What is attachment? What detachment is not? What are the benefits of detachment? How do we practice detachment? How can we apply detachment right now? And this one was, especially as it relates to some of our current world events, like the most recent elections in the U.S. and in Brazil, and other things happening in the world. And lastly is the power of gratitude. So for anybody who might be new to the calls, I start by offering a guided meditation, and then I speak about the prevailing energies that are affecting us, and also about the spiritual principles that are most helpful for us right now. And then we have time for questions and answers, and then we close the session with a brief guided meditation or a prayer or whatever we have time for. Lastly, if you need to leave before the call ends, you can always listen to the recording later. We do send out the link to our email list, and it's also posted on YouTube. So without further ado, I think let's go ahead and dive into our guided meditation for the day. So I invite you to get in a place where you can get comfortable and just relax and close your eyes. And take a few long, slow, deep breaths. Just letting go. Long and slow and deep, and let's make the exhale just a little bit longer than the inhale. Just do a few of those long, slow, deep breaths, and Breathe in all the light and life force that surrounds you. Breathe out any tension that you might be feeling in the body. Breathing in peace. Breathing out stress. Breathing in the present moment. Breathing out any worries about the past or the future. Just letting go deeply with each exhale. Relaxing and letting go. So as you continue to breathe, I just wanted to mention that my beloved Leslie, as most of you know, is overriding these calls, and there is a transmission of energy that comes through from another level, from some level of her being. And so we invite you to be meditative throughout the call and receive the transmission even while we're talking. And we do a lot of talking on these calls, but maybe the primary aspect of the calls is the energetic transmission. So even if you're multitasking, I invite you to just relax as much as you possibly can and receive the energy that surrounds us. And it doesn't matter whether you're with us live today or listening to the recording later. It doesn't matter. We're all part of a field of love. We're all connected there. Time and space really don't exist at that level except in the third dimension. So I invite you to tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space where we're all connected in love. So just feel that, just as you breathe, breathe in that field of love. Feel it flowing into your body as a golden white light, permeating every cell of your being. You can visualize yourselves as miniature sponges and just feel and visualize trillions of little sponges soaking up this beautiful golden white light and love that surrounds us. It's warm. It's relaxing. It's blissful. So as you continue to breathe, let's do what we always do, which is a brief muscular relaxation from head to toes. And I invite you to feel and visualize a warm viscous liquid like honey pouring over the top of your head, relaxing all the muscles that it touches. You just feel it pouring over your scalp and relaxing your scalp, pouring over your forehead and your brow, down into your eye sockets, relaxing the eyes, temples, the ears, nose, cheeks, pouring down over your mouth and jaw, to the back of your head. Just allowing every single facial muscle to completely relax. And it's always helpful to spend a moment just focusing on the back of the tongue and relaxing the back of the tongue as much as you possibly can, because that relaxes the whole region, the back of the head and the jaw, the throat. And continue to feel the honey pouring down over your neck and your shoulders. Just feel the warmth and the relaxation that happens in your shoulders. And take a moment to maybe visualize an angel behind you giving you a shoulder rub. Angel with strong, beautiful hands. Beautiful energy pouring through, filling you up with the deep warmth and relaxation, loving vibration. And let this warm energy and the warm liquid pour down over your arms, all the way down to the wrists and hands and fingers. And let it pour down over your chest and your upper back, completely relaxing all those muscles. Let it pour down over your diaphragm and pour down your back over the area behind the diaphragm. And let's just pause here and take a moment to take a couple of long, slow, deep breaths all the way down into the diaphragm. Just stretching the diaphragm ever so gently and then releasing. Just do a couple more of those. Feels so good. The diaphragm is a place where we hold a lot of tension. It's known in the esoteric spiritual world as Heaven's Gate, because it's a place where you tend to block the energy flowing. It's a thick muscle there, and when we breathe deeply into it and relax and stretch that area just a little bit, it helps the light to move through Heaven's Gate. Oh, just breathing and relaxing and letting go. And let's continue to feel the warm honey pouring down over the body, down the stomach, down the lower back. Over the pelvis. Let's just really allow it to relax the entire pelvic region. Psoas muscles that run down the front of the hips, genitals, the buttocks. The whole pelvic area. Just allow it to really feel warm and soft and just melting all the tension that's held there. And continuing to feel the warm honey pouring down over your legs, front and back, down past the knees, on the lower legs, front and back, flowing over the ankles, feet and toes, and relaxing every single muscle along the way. So now I'll be silent for a few moments. And I invite you to scan the body again from head to toes, just breathing light into any areas where you might still be holding on to some tension, and breathing out the tension and the stress, completely relaxing and letting go. So continuing our breathing, long and slow and deep, let's feel the gentle relaxation that continues to flow through the body. And we do this every month to start our call because we forget sometimes how important relaxation is. Relaxation is the foundation of the enlightening of our consciousness. It is what allows the deep peace to enter the body. And the deep peace is the foundation for love to blossom in our lives and for joy to manifest. It all starts with the relaxation. So the breathing is so helpful. We forget this sometimes, just to stop. We're so busy in our lives, and sometimes just stopping, giving the body just a little time to breathe and relax and feel the peace. One of the most important things we can do. Just keep breathing. I'm thinking of something a friend of mine recently said to me. She's a Buddhist and she studied for a long time with the Buddhist master Thich Nhat Hanh. He said one of his main messages was breathing and smiling. It's so simple and we forget about it. And so I love that, and it just came back to me, so I just wanted to share it with you, and I invite you to breathe and smile. And just feel how those two simple practices shift your consciousness. Breathing and smiling. And as I've said many times on these calls, there's a physiological response to the smile. The brain knows when you smile to release the happy hormones. So we usually think we smile because we're happy, but the truth is also the opposite, that we are happy because we smile. That's a good reminder. We tend to make things so complicated, and they're so simple. And when we're smiling and laughing, we are in the present moment. It's impossible to laugh and be anything other than happy and present. That's a great practice to add to the smiling and the breathing, the laughing. Great release, great way to let go. So as you breathe and smile, and if you feel like laughing, you can laugh. Let's also, just for a moment, put our attention on the heart chakra, right in the center of the chest. And if this is new for you and you're not sure about that, you can just tap the center of your chest. It's a few inches above the sternum. And you can just tap that area and remind the body where the heart center is. It's the seat of love, seat of joy. And feel it and see it, visualize it as a beautiful flower opening out in front of the chest, like a beautiful rose. You might see it as a pink color. You might smell the rose fragrance, which is very uplifting. Just allow that to blossom and open up petal by petal, front of your chest, and feel the love and the peace that comes from this. And let's also do the same in the back of the heart, the place that we generally ignore, the back of the heart. But just feel and visualize another rose opening out in the back of your chest. This one might be a little more challenging. It's a place that's more unconscious, so it's not as easy to feel necessarily unless you're practiced at it. But it's okay if you can't feel it. You just set the intention that you'd like to feel it, and it happens eventually, not today, another time. But to at least visualize it and recognize that if this is a place that's difficult for you to access, that it just means that there's unconsciousness there, that it's a place where we tend to shove our unconscious aspects, the things we'd rather not look at, and things that maybe aren't so pretty that we might feel ashamed of or afraid of. And we tend to stuff it back there and it's gone. Or at least we wish it were gone, but it's not gone. It's still there. So it's good to make this area of the body conscious and to focus on it from time to time. So let's do that right now. Let's open the back behind the heart and let's feel and visualize a beautiful river of light and love pouring from the back to the front. So it's coming in through the back of the heart chakra, going through the chest and out the front of the chest, out through the heart chakra in the front. Just see it as a river, a beautiful river of golden white light, or perhaps for you it might be pink energy, but just see it as a stream of love, stream of light, flowing through the heart chakra, sweeping all of the unconscious aspects clean, allowing them to move through you. Just like a beautiful wave of energy, wave of light. What does that feel like? Just notice. No judgment, no need to think, just feel. Be aware.
Just allow it. What happens in your body? What happens in your energy field when you allow this river to pass through? Usually feel a lot clearer, a lot lighter. One of the things you might feel. And now let's reverse the direction of the flow of the energy. Let's feel this stream of energy like a babbling brook flowing from the front into the heart chakra, through the chest, and out the back. Again, just sweeping your energy field clean, just clearing out, healing any energies that might be stuck, any unconscious aspects might need some clearing energy. Feel the chest opening wider and wider, and the back as well, both sides, so that the river is expanding. The river of light and love flowing through you is expanding, encompassing your entire chest and your entire upper back. And as you allow this flow of energy to sweep you clean, I invite you to continue breathing. And in the meantime, I will say a prayer and an invocation for our call today. We call on Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We invite in to this sacred circle our highest guides and teachers and all the beings who surround us in the highest love and support. We ask that you please fill us up with love, light, and healing energy today. Surround us in a beautiful cocoon of golden white light and love. And guide our conversation into the highest love and the highest wisdom. And hold our hands as we walk into our soul's highest purpose in this incarnation. And we're so deeply grateful for this opportunity to share this beautiful field of love, to share time together, to be in community, even though it is virtual, we can't see each other, but there is great power in the energy field, and we invite that in. We invite that into these bodies, the field of love. May it surround us and permeate through all the cells, filling us up. We give thanks for these beautiful bodies that we get to wear, and this beautiful planet that we are incarnate on at this amazing time. As we awaken to a new paradigm of the heart. Thank you. Thank you. And so now I invite you to slowly, slowly begin to wiggle your fingers and toes and can stretch and open your eyes when you're ready. Okay. So welcome everybody. As I mentioned, today we're going to talk a lot about spiritual detachment. I was really guided to talk about that for whatever reasons. I think it's a very powerful time for it. It's such a misunderstood topic because we tend to think it's about sacrificing the things we desire, or that it's maybe it's about not feeling, and yet practicing detachment is actually how we manifest our greatest desires, and it's how we achieve our highest potentials as a soul. There's so many amazing and very practical benefits to practicing detachment. And after all, that is also how we wake up spiritually. So I think that's probably why this is our main topic for today, to help hopefully shed a little light and clarity on a subject that's sometimes misunderstood. So we're going to look at what it is and what it isn't, and what the benefits of it are, how we apply it to our lives. And it's a big topic, but we'll cover some aspects of it today. So like I said, I know that the idea of detachment can seem confusing and actually sometimes even scary, because it sounds like it means we don't care anymore, or it sounds like indifference, or maybe apathy or numbing out. But that's really not at all what it means. And I know that that's counterintuitive in many ways, because when we learn the skill of detachment, we're actually more connected. We get more involved. We're more sensitive. We're more alive. And so when we practice spiritual detachment, we step more into the observer, or the witness part of us. And we don't take things as seriously as we used to. We remember that the things and the experiences of the world are temporary. And we discover that it's okay to feel more connected to life and to live life more intensely. And life becomes more fun and more enjoyable. There's less suffering. When we practice our spiritual detachment, we suffer less. So when I was tuning in on this, I was asking Spirit what to share today. I was shown an image of a Tibetan sand mandala, and I wonder if you know what that is. I'm sure many of you probably do. It's created by a group of monks who spend many hours and sometimes days and even weeks creating these elaborate and gorgeous pieces of art using colored sand. And in case you don't know, a mandala is like an image that you'd see in a kaleidoscope. It's a colorful geometric design, and it's focused around a central point. And so the monks, they have these little tools that funnel the colored sand into these very intricate and beautiful works of art. And when they're done, the mandalas look like they belong in a museum, because they take so much care, and there's so much artistry and love that goes into these mandalas. So the mandalas are meant to be temporary. They're not permanent. So after they spend all this time and energy creating this exquisite work of art, they have a ceremony where they tip the table, and then all the sand is swept away into a heap, and the mandala is gone forever. So a lot of Westerners really don't understand the practice, because it doesn't make any sense to them. I mean, why would we spend all that time and energy creating something that's so beautiful just to destroy it later?
And the practice that these monks are doing is learning about spiritual detachment. Basically, it's a metaphor for remembering that this is how life on planet Earth works. It's a reminder that everything we experience in life, everything of the Earth, is temporary, not permanent. Even the Earth herself isn't permanent. One day she will turn into a star. So we're reminded that one day we have to let go of everything because we can't take it with us when we die, even the physical body. And it reminds me of that saying that nobody gets out of this alive. And I know sometimes that brings up fear for people, and that's okay. Whenever we talk about the death of the body, there's a little part of us, or maybe a large part of us sometimes, that reacts with fear. And even the most enlightened beings on the planet have some degree of this, even if it's just a little tiny bit. It's just the nature of having a physical body. We're so attached to it because we think it's who we are. So we completely identify with the physical body. So if that's happening for you right now, if you're feeling a little fear, that's totally normal, and you can just allow yourself to witness the fear and be with it and feel it and recognize it just as a frequency that's passing through you, and it's not who you are. You just let it pass through and let it go. So detaching from the physical body is probably the biggest and maybe the most advanced detachment practice. And it's really a subject for another time. But for today, I thought there's so many other smaller ways that we can engage this really important practice of spiritual detachment. And this is one of the most important themes for all of us right now, because we're all letting go of something old, something that no longer serves. And if you take a few moments to examine your life, my guess is you'll see that it's true, even if it might be something small. But for most people I know, it's pretty major. There are these major opportunities happening right now. I've been talking about this for a few months. It's a time when we're being invited to let go of something old, and there are major openings into something new, whether it's letting go of an old job or a relationship or your home or whatever it is. But for many people, it may not be as significant as that. And sometimes things happen a little bit later. We're all riding a wave. So some people are a little ahead on the crest of the wave, and others are a little further behind. But it's an energy that's passing through, and we all have access to it. So, for example, last month we talked about taking time to clean out closets and garages, purging physical things. So that's such a great practice for opening up your life to receive something new. But it's also about more than that. It's about letting go of habitual ways of thinking and behaving in the world that no longer serve us. And so last month we talked a lot about that, so I won't repeat it. But what's really important for right now is this practice. It's the detachment practice. And so I was wondering if you had a chance to try any of the practices that I mentioned last month, and if any of them might have been helpful. We talked a lot about doing some squares. There were specific squares we mentioned. And I would just really love to hear from you. If you had a chance to try any of those, or if you had an experience with them, you can always email me and let me know. The email address to write to is courses@corelight.org. And I always enjoy hearing from you about these things, because it does help me to feel what's going on with everybody. And I also wanted to let you know that I've been taking my own advice about this, about purging physical things, and it has been such a great experience. It feels so good to do. As I mentioned at the beginning of the call, I'm here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and that's where Leslie and I lived for 25 years, and we have a couple of storage units here. when we sold our home about 5 years ago to go live in South Africa, where Leslie's from, we let go of probably, 90% of everything we own. And it was just amazing to me how much stuff we'd accumulated over 25 years. And we're not hoarders. And, we're always regularly purging stuff, giving things away, throwing things away, donating things, and so on. And yet, there's still so much stuff. We especially had lots of sacred art and spiritual books. And because Leslie's an artist, she's always been a lover of beauty, and I am too. And so we've always manifested these very beautiful things, and we've always enjoyed creating beautiful spaces to live in. But even though we practiced simplifying and streamlining for those 25 years, there was still all this stuff. So 5 years ago, after we purged 90% of it, I put the rest in storage. And now I realize the truth is we don't need it. We don't really need most of the remaining 10% as well. So I thought I had really purged, and I'm learning yet another lesson in simplifying and streamlining. So right now I'm back here doing another giveaway of things and consolidating everything hopefully into one unit. And I share this with you in case it's helpful, because I know that it can be a daunting task sometimes to tackle any kind of cleaning out project, even if it's just a closet. And I found that treating it as a creative project is really helpful. I've been looking at this project like it's a sculpture, or sometimes it's like a painting, and I take time with it every day, and I purge a new layer, and I ask Spirit, okay, who gets this? Where does this go? Sort of like, what brushstrokes do I put on the canvas today, and what new layers of this block of clay want to be carved away today? So it's been fun to treat it as a creative project, and there's also the other fun part of it is following the inner guidance. I get guided to contact somebody to see if they might need something, and voila, they get really excited because it's exactly what they've been wanting. And so it becomes this spiritual exercise in following guidance and intuition, and there's so much fun in that. It's a magic process. And also the act of generosity, just giving things away is so uplifting. So I find that when I'm in that space of creativity and generosity, there's joy. And as long as we can be in the joy, then there's no sense of the project being a burden. There's no worrying about anything. And it's a reminder that we have a choice. We can either be in the joy and the fun and the creativity, or we can have worries and burdens and feel overwhelmed. But we can't have both of those at the same time. So this is one of those great exercises in watching where we put our attention. It's about witnessing our thoughts, letting go of any states of mind that aren't serving us, redirecting our mind to the thoughts that put us into higher consciousness and into joy. So again, I share that with you in case it's a helpful example. It's a way that we can apply the principle of this to any activity in life, including this idea of a cleaning out project, if that's something you feel called to do. So, of course, it's true that spiritual detachment is always important.
It's always a big part of our journey, but what I've been feeling inwardly lately is that it's especially a good time to focus on it consciously and to practice it, maybe more than we might normally do. There's an especially powerful moment that we're in to benefit from practicing this. So let's take, as I said, we're going to take a little closer look at what spiritual detachment is and what it's not. Both are important. And before we do that, I think to understand detachment, the first thing we need to look at is attachment, to know what attachment is. So I associate attachment with the desire to control or feeling a need to possess something or somebody. I think it's how we think we're going to get what we want, or it's how we're going to protect ourselves against something. And so underneath that desire, the attachment actually comes from a place of fear. An attachment isn't just to things or to people in the material world, but it can be to a habit. It can be to a way of thinking or a way of feeling. And attachment usually comes out of some kind of childhood patterning or trauma. So, for example, as a child, we might have been punished for not obeying, you know, for not being good. And we were rewarded for being the good little boy or the good little girl. So we get attached to the rewards and the approval. And we also get attached to avoiding the punishment and the disapproval. So as an adult, we might still be attached to needing the approval of other people and avoiding anything that might bring disapproval. So we might suppress our own needs. We might sacrifice our own happiness. We might not be able to draw healthy boundaries in our relationships with people. And we might even become a bit of a doormat. We might develop the inner critic that judges ourselves for being selfish. We might internalize that parent that told us that we were bad and wrong for whatever the reason was, and this would all be a reenactment of what we experienced in childhood. So that happens because our human brains are wired that way. The human brain is wired for survival. We keep repeating what we learned in childhood in order to be able to survive, and this is physiological. Even if our childhood was traumatic, we still tend to repeat the same pattern, and we manifest similar experiences because we survived our childhood. And so therefore, the brain knows that we can survive that experience, so we just keep reenacting it over and over again as adults. And at least that is until we start doing the egoic clearing work, and until we start to learn a little bit more about changing our habits, changing our habitual thinking, and practicing spiritual detachment. But wow, until we start learning how to change and how to detach, those kinds of attachments really cause a lot of suffering in our lives. They really lower our vibration. They limit us. They are the reason that we get so drained and why we lose our life force and our energy, and they limit the capacity for joy. They limit our ability to feel free, let's say. So it's by practicing detachment that we experience more joy and freedom in life. And the way, this is important to mention too, the way that we lose energy from the attachment is that any attachment that we have to a belief or to a habit or to another person or a thing, we're creating an energetic cord to that thing.
and we're constantly feeding our energy out to it. So it's literally draining us of our life force. And we need that energy. We need all our energy to reach higher states of consciousness and to be able to manifest and to live the soul's purpose. So if we have just a small attachment to something, then we're being drained just a little bit. And if we've got a lot of attachment to something, then it's draining us a lot. And we see this with addiction. You know, when we have a really strong addiction like drinking or drugs or something like that, you can see how much it drains us. All right. So in order to understand what detachment is, it's also helpful to take a look at what detachment is not. And I think one of the biggest confusions about detachment is that many people think it means a kind of numbness or an indifference, let's say. Spiritual detachment is neither of those things. It is not about numbness or indifference. So how do you tell the difference between spiritual detachment and numbness or indifference? One good way is by discerning whether or not your heart stays open. So feeling indifferent about something or numbing out means that the heart is closed. And when you practice spiritual detachment, your heart remains open. So a lot of this is a practice about feeling your heart center, being able to know if your heart is closing or if it stays open. And I use the word practice because it's important to remember that that's what it is. This is a practice. It's not something we jump into full-blown, you know, just by hearing about it, by learning about it. It takes time to learn about it and to practice it and to become more sensitive to what your heart center is doing. And there's another big misconception, which is that many people think detachment means sacrificing something that they desire, giving up something they really want. So, for example, like a material thing or even something that's internal, like giving yourself away, maybe not having boundaries, allowing yourself to be walked all over by other people. So that's not what this is about. And in fact, the opposite is true. The more we learn to detach, the more we open the door to receiving our greatest desires. And the clearer we can become, so we can observe those places in us that are out of balance. And then we can work on them. We can clear them so that we can have healthy boundaries and we can manifest in a much better way. So, for example, I wonder how many times you've experienced this. You might want something very badly. You might try and you try and you try, but no matter how hard you try, you're never able to manifest the thing that you want. And then you finally reach a point where you realize it's just not working. And so there's some part of you that just lets go. You know, it's too much work or too frustrating or whatever. So you finally just give up and you let go. And then, miraculously, that's when it manifests. And you finally get the thing you wanted because you let your attachment to it go. And it does feel like a miracle when that happens. And I don't know if you've ever had that, but I know many people who have. The image that comes to mind with this principle is the moth that's drawn to the flame. And when there's that strong attachment, it doesn't really go so well for the moth, does it? So we're learning to be the flame, not the moth. And this is a practice. So I can give you an example. I've known several people who were very attached to having a particular kind of relationship, and they were miserable because no matter how hard they tried, they just couldn't find the right partner. But when they did the egoic clearing work and they practiced the spiritual detachment, the person arrived. And there was this great sense of fulfillment from that. And that was true for Leslie and me. We both let go of our attachments, any kind of strong attachment to a particular kind of relationship. And in fact, we were not looking for a partner at all because we were both so dedicated to our studies, the spiritual study. But then when we started our relationship, we realized that it wasn't exactly what we had imagined, you know, to say the least, but it was certainly the most fulfilling relationship we could have imagined. And so 30 years of deep intimacy have sort of flown by. And there's so much more I could share about this, but I guess if it interests you, I did write about it in my book, Living with Enlightenment, so you can read about that there if that's of interest to you. But to be clear, this is not about giving up things you want. It's about learning to give up the attachment to them. And I want to say that again, because this is one of the keys to the whole thing. It's not about giving up the actual thing. You don't have to sacrifice the things themselves or the people or whatever it is. It's about learning to give up the attachment to them. And there's a huge difference there. I think that's one of the main principles of manifestation, actually. And it does, the principle of spiritual detachment does not mean that you have to give yourself away either. It doesn't mean, for example, dropping healthy boundaries or self-sacrificing or anything like that. But it's completely natural to desire things. And there's nothing bad. There's nothing wrong with that. We incarnate specifically so we can manifest our desires. That's a lot of what life is about, is manifesting our desires. So having desires and fulfilling them is a huge part of our purpose of being human. And the practice of spiritual detachment helps us to manifest those things that we want in life and to achieve whatever our soul came in to do. So let's talk about what is detachment? What is spiritual detachment? I see it as a kind of a freedom. It's freedom from our attachments, which are the things that keep us locked into a very limited bandwidth. It's freedom from needing to control or possess. It's freedom from our habits of thought that keep us trapped in childhood programming. It's freedom from any kind of egoic limitation that we can name. So spiritual detachment is one of the key components to the practice that I always talk about on these calls, and that's the practice of witnessing. And so detachment and witnessing are both a lot about developing an observer to life, observing ourselves, our thoughts, feelings, actions, words, practicing watching everything from a place of non-judgment and compassion. And in our book, The Marriage of Spirit, Leslie and I talked about it as the neutral observer. And I know some people like to call it the gentle observer instead of a neutral observer, because sometimes when you hear the word neutrality, you know, we think it means we shouldn't feel anything. And if we're feeling something, then then we're just not neutral. And there's something wrong with us. And that's definitely not what this is about. It is not about numbing out. It's not about not having feelings. So you can call it whatever you like. You can call it a neutral observer or a gentle observer. But either way, it's about the practice of detachment. It's about remembering that we're not the ego. We're not our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our words. We're not the body. We're pure awareness. We're the soul. And all of the thoughts and emotions and the experiences and all of this are passing through us. So it's like those Tibetan sand mandalas that I started our discussion today talking about. Our thoughts and emotions and our bodies and our experiences are all temporary. None of this is permanent. So that permanent part of us, that's the soul, that's the pure awareness, This is what's watching and observing life. And from that level, we observe with compassion and gentleness. And no matter what's happening, that permanent part of us knows this too shall pass. And I just want to clarify something that I just said, because I know it can sometimes hang people up. And when I say that we're not the body, I'm not creating a separation between spirit and matter. Sometimes saying we're not the body can be misinterpreted to mean that there's some kind of separation there, and that's not what I'm saying. The physical body is infused with spirit. Some people would say that the body is our spirit in form. And I think that that's a beautiful way to look at it, because the truth is there is no separation. There's no separation between the material world and spirit and the physical body. And that's true for the whole of the natural world. It's all infused with spirit. Spirit moves in all things. And then when the physical body dies, the spirit departs the physical body and it returns to source. And the physical body returns to the earth. So I think it's a cycling, and I think it's a moving of energy, but it's not a separation or a polarization, and I just wanted to be super clear about that. So anyway, I guess there's a lot more that could be said about this, but that's my basic definition of spiritual detachment. So let's move on. Let's talk about what are the benefits of practicing detachment. Well, we talked about detachment being the key to witnessing, and witnessing is the foundation for spiritual awakening. So if you want to awaken spiritually, the practice of detachment is really one of the most important keys to it. And there are all kinds of benefits to spiritual awakening. And I don't think I really need to talk much about that with this group, because I'm assuming most people listening already know the benefits of spiritual awakening. You know, our awakening is the greatest gift we can give the earth. So there's not a lot more to be said about that. But also, let's add, we already mentioned how spiritual detachment is the key to manifestation. So if you want to manifest your desires, and if you want to manifest your soul's highest purpose in this incarnation, then practicing spiritual detachment is one of the best things you can do. And I think it's also important to mention that one of the biggest benefits is physical health. When we practice detachment, we let go of worry specifically. And it's been, there's a field of science called psychoneuroimmunology, PNI. And that field of science has proven scientifically that worry weakens the immune system. You know, we've all heard the expression worried sick, right? And that's true. You know, we get sick from worrying. And it's because of this reason. Worrying shuts down the immune system.
And worrying also shuts down the endocrine system's ability to manufacture the happy hormones. And it's very well known that you can have either worry or happiness, but you can't have both at the same time. We choose one or the other. And it's also been proven through PNI that joy boosts the immune system. So that's a scientific fact, that the higher our joy quotient, the better our immune system works. So this is how practicing spiritual detachment and letting go of worry and choosing joy improve our physical health. And I just will add here, if this is a topic that interests you, there's a chapter about this in Returning to Oneness, the Seven Keys of Ascension, in the new edition of the book that Leslie and I wrote. It's the chapter about the eighth key, which is don't worry, be happy. And that key opens the thymus chakra. And of course, the thymus gland is one of the key components of the endocrine system, which is essential for, you know, having a healthy immune system. And Leslie also made an audio set called The New Thymus Chakra, which is a talk that elaborates on all of that. And it includes a guided meditation to activate the thymus chakra. So if any of that interests you, I invite you to check that out. So anyway, let's see. One of the other benefits of practicing detachment is that it gives us a greater ability to love. And in fact, to really love, in the truest sense of the word, we have to be detached. If we're not, if we're attached, then we're not really loving. If we're detached, love becomes unconditional, and that's actual love. Anything else is something different. So let's see, I've made a list here. Another benefit of detachment is that it brings us a sense of peace and balance and poise in our lives. And it helps us to be able to get along with other people, and we make friends more easily. And if you're in spiritual detachment, people tend to notice. They notice that there's something special about you, and they, like when you walk into a room, they look, and they want to know, they want to know your secret. They want to know what's that about. They're drawn to you, and they might not even understand why, but they want what you have. So I think that's a great benefit. Another benefit, because then you can help people. That's the point, is that you get to serve. You can serve people, and you can help them awaken and become happy. So another benefit of detachment is that it enhances our psychic ability. For example, telepathic communication with animals. And my friend Anna Breitenbach and I taught a course last year on that subject called For the Love of Animals. We're hoping to teach that again sometime in the second half of 2023, so you can be on the lookout for that. But there's a lot more I could say about it, but we're going to run out of time, so let's move on. There's actually a lot more, but I think for the sake of time, we should probably complete this section here. Let's talk about how we do this. How do we practice spiritual detachment? So a few things come to mind to share. And again, I made a list, so bear with me here. The first thing on the list is about doing the egoic clearing work. That's one of the keys for developing detachment, because when we untie those knots of the mind, we're freeing ourselves from attachments. We clear literally the neural passageways in the brain that keep us on these habitual tracks of thinking and behaving. So practicing the exercises, like for example that Leslie and I offer in the Marriage of Spirit book, the polarities, triangles, and squares,
is one way, but the truth is there's so many methods out there nowadays, and you don't have to use the marriage of spirit techniques. It's just important that you find something that works for you and use it. Whatever you do, find something that works and use it. But do some kind of egoic clearing work. Number two, and I'm guessing I'm singing to the choir here. My guess is if you're on this call, you already know that. So number two, practicing feeling more and thinking less. So this is an important one. It does help us to develop detachment. Like I was saying before, especially becoming more sensitized to how your heart feels is really important in this practice. Keeping the heart open is fundamental to the practice of detachment. So one way we can practice feeling more and thinking less is literally to stop what we're doing and to focus on bringing our energy from the head down to the heart and just holding it there. Holding your energy around your heart area and just trying to feel what's going on with it. And it's not a doing, it's not a trying, it's really just a relaxing and an attuning, let's say. So you could ask, you could be in that space and you could ask the question inwardly, how open is my heart? What kinds of experiences close my heart? And then, you know, you make up your own questions and your own exercises for this, but it's like, it's just practicing observing what's happening. That's the feeling exercise. So if you're able to keep your heart open, even during a time of adversity, that is a very advanced practice, and that requires significant detachment. And that's where we're all going, you know. And I know that many people on this call, people have been around for a long time, do that well. You know, we've learned to hold our hearts open even during adversity. It's entirely possible, I can promise you, that it is entirely possible to learn to keep your heart open no matter what, to have a permanently opened heart. And it's through this practice of detachment. Okay, number three, a great detachment practice is becoming okay with formlessness. So we've talked about that a little bit on these calls before. It's really, when I say becoming okay with formlessness, we're talking about the unknown. We're talking about uncertainty. The more we can let go of our need to control, and the more comfortable we can become with these other states, the more detached we become. Number four. An important aspect of detachment is developing faith and learning to release fear. So it's really about practicing trusting and knowing in your heart that you're loved and supported by the invisible realms. It's so much easier to let go when we really know that in our hearts, we really believe it. And there's an image that comes to mind for me with this, and that is, if you know the tarot deck at all, it's the card called the Fool. Do you know that card? Do you know what I'm talking about? The Fool card is like a court jester who's sort of gaily walking along, and he's looking up into the heavens, and at the bottom of the card, you see he's actually at the edge of a cliff. He's got one foot right off the cliff, and he seems oblivious to it. And, you know, that's such a great metaphor, because from third dimensional eyes, he looks like a fool. But spiritually speaking, this represents this principle of knowing that if we put our faith in spirit, if we put our spiritual path first, and we're practicing detachment, everything else is taken care of. All of our other needs are met. Things miraculously manifest for us. Life unfolds like a red carpet in front of us. And, you know, people may look at it, at what we're doing, and think it's foolish, but we're following our intuition. We're following our discernment. By practicing detachment, we have that connection to the inner planes, the invisible realms. And we know exactly where we're supposed to put each foot at any given moment. So that's the practice. Number five, and this is last but not least. So making a commitment to develop spiritual detachment. And that might be the most important thing of all, actually, because as we know, everything begins with a commitment. So I invite you to take a little quiet alone time and see if you're ready to make that commitment. And my guess is many of you already have. And if that's the case, then take the time to maybe consider renewing the commitment. Create a special ceremony of some kind where you formally declare your commitment to spirit. You know, you can get creative with it. You can do it any way you like, but it's about renewing or making a commitment to develop spiritual attachment. Everything begins with a commitment. Okay, so let's complete today by looking at how we can apply this practice of spiritual detachment in our lives right now in the face of current events. So there's so much change happening in the world right now. And it's continuing to accelerate as we always seem to talk about that every month. Change is continuing. Change is accelerating. I feel like a broken record sometimes, so please forgive me, but it's true. And, you know, we're just living in such intense and crazy times. And the word that I keep using throughout the day, almost every day, is surreal. It just feels like a surreal world. It's like there's a certain level of insanity in the world most of the time nowadays. Oh my goodness. And so, the practice of detachment is critical. I speak personally and from, you know, all my friends who do this, you know, it really is what helps us get through the day. And as I said, it's about being okay with formlessness and the unknown and uncertainty, because we're certainly in that. And I think one of the hardest lessons of life on this planet is, and it's always been this, it is seeing the divine perfection in everything, in all the polarities, seeing the divine perfection in war as well as in peace, and seeing it in death as well as in birth, and seeing it in pain as well as in pleasure and justice as well as justice, and the list goes on. But practicing spiritual detachment helps us with this journey so much. It's about remembering that we chose to come here and to experience these dualities. We wanted to experience this particular roller coaster, and it is the most intense and the wildest ride of probably any lifetime we've ever had. And I would say it's the ride of the millennia. I'm sure most of you agree with me. And it doesn't mean that we don't work to create change in the world and to do our best to make the world a better place. Of course we're going to do that. We work to right the wrongs of the world and to bring peace where there's violence and conflict, and we work to make this planet a better place for our children. And by the practice of letting go of our attachment to having it have to be a certain way and needing to control things in some way, that's when we open the door for the manifestation of a better world. my friend Charles Eisenstein likes to say, the better world our hearts know is possible. And I love that. So we also, in the United States, we just had some elections, and I know our friends in Brazil also had elections in October. And, you know, there could not be a better time than this to practice spiritual detachment. My strong suggestion to everybody is to not get too excited about any of the politics right now, anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter where you are. Things are not as they appear. There's no real way for us to actually know what's going on. And the best way to navigate through this time is with practicing a lot of spiritual detachment. Just practicing being okay with the unknown and the uncertainty of everything. And for sure, it's definitely not a good idea to get all tied up in knots about any of this and to worry about it. That is not going to serve anybody, especially you, especially that precious body that you're wearing. As we talked about, worry does not serve your health or your well-being in any way. So practicing letting go of control, letting go of the attachment to the outcome, this is for us right now. This is the way to go. Okay, so we're about to wrap up here. Love and truth. Love and truth are the most powerful forces in the universe. And it's just very sad and shocking when we see the level of craziness and manipulation and disinformation and violence and injustice and all these things happening in the world right now. We're not being told the truth. And I just want to be clear, I'm not talking about a political party. I'm not talking about a leader. I'm not talking about anything like that. That is not what this is about. This is about an old system that is falling apart, and there's a new one being born. And the new system is based in love and truth. So as I said, it's really not a good idea to get very excited right now about anything on the news or any politics. It's a great time, as I've often said, to practice neither believing nor disbelieving, you know, just observing, taking it all in, and not having to choose a side. This is a form of spiritual detachment. It is a way of applying the principles to life right now. It's very much about discernment. It's very much about your own inner discernment and discerning truth and discerning love. All right. I think it's time to close for today, but there's one last thing before we do. I did want to take a moment to speak about gratitude. Because here in the United States, this coming Thursday is the Thanksgiving holiday, and I just love that holiday because it is the perfect time to focus a little bit extra on our practice of gratitude. And of course, it doesn't matter if you're in the U.S. or not. I know we have lots of people from all over the world listening in on these calls, participating on these calls. And, of course, gratitude is for everyone, no matter where you're from. It's one of the highest vibratory rates. It's one of the highest states of consciousness that we can embody. So even when we're in some kind of adversity, or, in fact, especially when we're in some kind of adversity, practicing gratitude is such a fantastic way to raise our consciousness. And I know this is a reminder for you, but it feels appropriate somehow. This feels like a really great practice for right now. It helps us to transcend whatever limitations we might be experiencing. And I would say if we're feeling victimized, specifically, if we're feeling victimized in some way, one of the quickest ways out of feeling victimized is to focus on what you're grateful for. Gratitude is the victim killer. It's like gratitude is to the victim like kryptonite is to Superman. And I don't know about you, but I am practicing it like crazy lately, more than ever. I feel so immensely grateful for all of the most incredible gifts that life is giving us all right now. Very simple things, just food on the table, a roof over my head, a warm place to sleep, friends, a body. I mean, these are the things that are the gifts of life. And I guess I want to say that, you know, this time that we're living in right now is so extraordinary. It is such a gift to be alive and in a body on planet Earth right now. I'm just feeling so incredibly grateful for that every day. And I know that I usually acknowledge this in the opening prayer for every spiritual weather report. I say those words, but I think it bears repeating. You know, we're in this window of time right now that's so rare. And it's rare not just on planet Earth, but in the whole universe. This time we're in is the turning of the ages from the age of separation or the age of patriarchy, whatever you want to call it, into the new paradigm of the heart. It's the movement from the third chakra to the fourth chakra, the heart chakra. And it's the culmination of so many lifetimes. We are at the end of a very, very, very long journey. And it's the movement from the love of power to the power of love. And there's so many multidimensional beings from all over the universe that are here with us, watching us. They're supporting us. They want to see how this goes. You know, it's like the show of the millennia. It's this unbelievable opportunity that we're being given right now. And we're the midwives. We are the midwives of this new paradigm of the heart. We're the pioneers. So I know it's not necessarily easy. There are plenty of challenges associated with this time, but it's such a gift. And so gratitude is such a great practice for us right now. Every morning, giving thanks for another day of life on Earth at this amazing time. And sending that prayer or that energy out into the universe every morning, first thing, before your feet hit the ground, getting out of bed. That is a really powerful practice, and it might be something you want to consider for doing for the next month if you're not doing it already. But just as soon as your eyes open in the morning, just focus on gratitude for another day of life and send that energy out. All right, so let's move on to questions. Actually, before we move on to questions, one last thing. I just want to say that I realize that the topic of spiritual detachment might have brought up more questions than answers for some people. It's one of those paradoxical spiritual principles that doesn't always make sense to the human mind. You know, it's very counterintuitive sometimes. So if you have questions about any of that, please write to me. I invite you to email me. And as I've always said, it's courses@corelight.org. You can share with me anything you want. If you have questions or if you have a story or a sharing about it, I'd love to hear from you. And just that leads me to say, just in general, I'm so grateful to you for all the questions that you write and the heartfelt sharing that you send in. I really, really appreciate hearing from you. And if you happen to be new, the way it works is, as I said, email me, courses@corelight.org. And if you're on the web call, you can type in your questions on the Q&A board. And those questions will be for next month's call because I don't get a chance to look at them during the call. So it's not possible for me to answer all the questions, but I do read them all, and I get to as many of them as I can. Okay, the first question is from Miriam from Quebec, Canada. She says, could you please talk about dark interferences in our day-to-day lives and how they manifest in our reality and in our thoughts? So thank you, Miriam. It's a great question. And I especially liked how you've connected our thoughts with what manifests in our reality. And your question is very succinct. And yet, as we know, this is a big topic. So let's see what we can cover about it today. So when you say dark interferences, I think what you're talking about is what's known as the shadow. And sometimes I call it the forces of separation. So first, before I respond to your question, I think it's really important just to be clear what we mean by the shadow, because I know that that can sound scary to some people. And the shadow is a term that Carl Jung, the famous Swiss psychologist, created. And he was describing the hidden side of the human psyche. And it's all the stuff that we suppress and we avoid and we deny because we don't want to look at it. It is anything that might be less than our ideal version of who we think we should be. Like, for example, anger gets suppressed a lot, or anything we might feel afraid of, like our own power, for example, or anything that we feel ashamed of. And we hide that part of the psyche in what he called the unconscious. And that is not a great arrangement, because when we hide that stuff in the unconscious, it does not go away. It might seem like it goes away because we're not conscious of it, but it's just suppressed. It's like sweeping dirt under a rug. You know, it's invisible to the eye, but it's still there. It's just hidden. And the suppressed shadow still has a significant effect on us. And in fact, the more we suppress it, the more it exerts itself on us. It's like a pressure cooker. You know, the more the pressure, the tighter the lid has to be to contain it. And it's also like the metaphor that I like to give is it's like a beach ball that we're shoving down under the water. And what happens when we do that? It pushes back, right? It's trying to come back up to the surface. It wants to be released. And so we spend all this energy trying to hold it down, which is a great waste of energy. So it takes lots of energy to contain whatever we suppress. And like I was saying earlier, this is the kind of thing that drains us, and it limits our ability to manifest, and it does not support our living our highest potential. And in fact, it's detrimental to our well-being in all of the ways that I was outlining earlier. So the term shadow can sound scary because it is human nature to project our worst fears onto whatever we hide in the unconscious. So we fear that the shadow side is bad and it's wrong and even, you know, it's even evil. And so those are just concepts. Those are the judgments which are part of the human psyche. But the truth of it is that it's just hidden. It's just an unconscious part of us. all those other things are our own judgments that we place onto it, our own interpretations of it. And so it's interesting that in the East, the word evil translates as ignorance. And I think that's a good way to look at this. When we suppress some aspect of our own consciousness, we're ignoring it. And if you look at the word ignorance, it has ignore in it. So when we talk about, you called it dark interferences or shadow, we're really talking about the nature of our own psyche. You know, we're really talking about our own human consciousness, because there actually is nothing separate from us. There's nothing outside of us at one level of our, one level of reality that is the ultimate truth, that we're not separate from anything else. And the way that this dynamic works is that the reality of our world, whatever we're manifesting in our world, is a mirror of our own unconscious self. So let me just, I want to repeat that. I just want to say it again, just in case this might be new to some people, and it's also a great reminder for all of us. And it's that the outer world that we manifest is a mirror of our own unconscious self. And so what that means is what we suppress and what we deny and what we ignore, that all gets projected out onto the world, and then it gets reflected back to us like a mirror. So we're literally seeing ourselves. We're literally seeing an aspect of ourselves. And it's true that the shadow is arising everywhere right now. And it's actually been this way for quite a while now. And there's no country on planet Earth that is an exception. Every single country has its own flavor of shadow arising. I know so many people just, we tend to think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But the truth is there's nowhere you can go on planet Earth to escape the shadow right now. You can get away from your country's flavor of shadow, but you're going to experience the different flavor of shadow in another country. And so this may be challenging, but it's also an extraordinary gift. Because I'm sure you know, this is the path of spiritual awakening. We awaken by shining the light on the shadow. And so this is the path of making the unconscious conscious. You know, when we do that, when we shine the light on the shadow and make the unconscious conscious, we're transmuting the shadow into light. And that's our freedom. That's the freedom that we've been talking about today. By having the shadow side become so visible and so obvious in the world right now, it's a great opportunity to see this mirror of our own unconscious self. And we get to see it and name it, and we get to make it conscious, and we get to process it in whatever way we choose to, whatever works for us. And like I said before, the marriage of spirit techniques are a great way to make the unconscious conscious and to process the shadow side, but it's not the only way. As I said, it's just important to find whatever way works for you. But whatever you do, it's just important to have some tools that you like using for clearing shadow, because we all have to have that right now. Okay, so Miriam, to come back to the specifics of your question, I guess I can share with you some examples of how I see our human shadow manifesting in the world right now. And I would say that the main way is that we've been taught to suppress our own power. And we suppress our light, and we suppress all these amazing capacities that we have as human beings. And when we do that, that gives rise to the dynamic that we know as victim consciousness. Because victim consciousness is the denial of our own power. Victim consciousness is, as I've said so many times on these calls, it's the main process on the planet. And, you know, we're really being given a being given a very clear look at what that's like right now. We're getting to look very clearly at how that manifests for us in the world. That's what this is about. So the dynamic is that the victim feels powerless and helpless and weak. And the victim projects its own power out onto the world. And then it manifests in the form of tyrants and saviors. You could call them perpetrators and rescuers, if you like. Tyrants, saviors, perpetrators, rescuers, same thing. But victims and tyrants and saviors cannot exist without each other. If you have one, you have to have all three. So because the victim persona believes that it's weak and powerless and helpless, it manifests this powerful authority figure outside itself. And then the tyrant is the bad one, right? Or even the evil one who oppresses the victim. And the savior is the good one, the one who comes to the rescue. And so that's really the simplest description of all of the shadow that's arising on the world stage right now, in my opinion. You know, it's not that complicated. You can apply that dynamic to almost any, well, probably not going to say almost any issue you see, but I would say every issue you see. You know, you look for that dynamic and you'll find it underlying whatever's there. So, for example, to be very specific, I would say, this is my observation, you know, I'm not saying this is the ultimate truth, it's just my observation. You might see something different. But what I see is that, you know, as a collective, globally speaking, we're seeing a march towards totalitarianism, you know, across the planet. We've given away our power to the extent that we're manifesting this. We've given our power and our authority to governments, to science, technology, medicine, money, religion, all the different systems of the world, all the charismatic leaders of the world. And this list goes on. You know, I'm naming a few things here, but there's plenty. I'm sure you have your own list that you can make. And so then we look for an authority figure outside of us to rescue us from all of this. And that's the savior mentality. And in many ways, you know, we look to the same authorities to rescue us that I just listed. You know, the ones who are the tyrants, we're also looking to the same, you know, either a leader or the right government or the better science or better technology, you know, or whatever it is. You know, if we can just have that, then we'll be saved. And that is not what this is about. You know, really, it's about taking back our projection. It's about owning our power, owning our own authority, becoming sovereign beings, as I've talked about on recent calls. And so really, you know, we're just going around and around with all of this. And as long as we believe in our own powerlessness and helplessness, and as long as we're projecting our own power and authority outside of us,
well, we're going to remain in that dynamic of the victim, tyrant, savior consciousness. And this march towards totalitarianism is going to continue. But I think if you've been on these calls for any length of time, you know my belief. And, you know, my belief is that the good news is that this is not going to happen. The whole system is coming to a great big conclusion. You know, it's very busily destroying itself. It's ending. The system of separation, you can call it. It's held in place by the victim, tyrant, savior consciousness. And as more and more people are starting to wake up to it, that's how we're creating the shift. As each of us wakes up to that dynamic, you know, as each of us individually learns to take back our power, and as we clear that shadow side within us, we're changing the world. And that's why Corelight's tagline is change the world by changing yourself. Okay, so how does that look for each of us in a practical way? I'd say it's about what we've talked about so much today. It's about practicing detachment and witnessing our own habits of thought and behavior. It's about releasing our attachments to those old ways of thinking and being. It's about letting go of any places in us that feel victimized and perhaps, you know, might be blaming an outside authority figure for our troubles. And looking for some kind of a savior to rescue us. You know, it's about doing all of this egoic clearing work and shining a light on the shadow aspects of our own consciousness. Because as we make that unconscious conscious, we wake up to the truth of who we are. And that's love. Love is who we truly are. And that's what we're all coming to discover. You know, it's the great awakening to love. The truth is that that's all it's really about. Very simply, it's just about choosing love as much as we possibly can. It's about choosing love over fear. It's about clearing away healing any thought patterns or behavior patterns that might prevent us from living in higher states of consciousness, like love and like gratitude. And that's our power. That is our power. You know, we're talking about sublimating our power, being subservient, because we're sublimating our power. Love is our power. Our own higher consciousness is our power. So it's like I was speaking about earlier, love and truth. Love and truth are the most powerful forces in the universe. So the more we live in those states of higher consciousness, the quicker and easier this transition to the new paradigm of the heart is going to be. And like I was saying, you know, it's so exciting. You know, even though the shadow is challenging to deal with, we need to remember that this is all part of this great awakening that's happening on the planet. So it might look bad. It might be challenging. We might go through we might get worse before it gets better, let's say. But there's a perfection to this. There's nothing wrong. We are not victims of something. We chose to incarnate at this time and be the pioneers to do this work. This was our choice, and this is our own soul evolution. It's our own empowerment, you know. It's our opportunity. It's a fantastic gift that we're being given. Okay, I'm getting that that's, gosh, I'm looking at the time and it is over. We're finished for today. I'm so sorry we only got to one question. I noticed that there was a question posted on the Q&A board that I was wanting to answer, but let's see if we can, it's from Kathleen. So Kathleen, my apologies to you. I'll see, hopefully we can get to that next month. We'll see. So why don't we close our session for today with a brief prayer and an offering up of all of these processes that we've seen today. So I invite you now to find a quiet, comfortable place. If you're multitasking, this would be a good time to just pause if you're able to. I invite you to sit quietly and close your eyes and take a few long, slow, deep breaths. Just breathing in the light and the love that surrounds us. Beautiful field of love. I hope you can feel it. Very intense. Very uplifting. So just visualize it as golden white light and breathe it in, soaking it up in your body. Long and slow and deep breaths. So as you breathe and relax, I call in all of the beings who have surrounded us in the highest love and support on the inner planes. And we give thanks. We give thanks for the opportunity today to share our love, share this time together, to receive the light, the healing energy that's pouring in. And we make an offering right now. We're giving back to Great Spirit, giving up to life, all of the polarities that we mentioned today, things like power and powerlessness, authority and subservience, weak and strong, helpless and helpful. And there are more. We offer them all up. We release them. Of course, one I missed was victim tyrant, victim savior, tyrant savior, all these polarities. We give them all back. And we feel complete. We just feel complete with this whole paradigm of polarity and separation and fear, violence, and all these experiences that we really don't need anymore because we feel complete with them. So we're giving them all back, and we are calling on our birthright. We're claiming our birthright, and our birthright is higher consciousness. And that is states like detachment, gratitude, unconditional love. And I invite you now silently, just fill in the blank here if you have some higher states of consciousness that you want to call in. This is the time. We ask for grace to support us in claiming our birthright, which is these higher states. and we commit to living them to the best of our ability, to choosing love at every opportunity possible. Thank you. We know that this is so. So it is. And may all of our thoughts and our words and our actions contribute in some way to the happiness of all beings and to the raising of the vibration of Gaia herself into the new paradigm of the heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Alalaho. Oh, isn't it wonderful? That's what alalaho means in Tibetan. Isn't it wonderful? I love that. Oh, my goodness. Well, friends, thank you so much for today. I just love being with you. This field of love that we share is so palpable and delightful. And again, I thank you for all the sharing and the questions that you write in, and I invite you to continue. Please connect with me. Let me know how you are. Let me know what you observe. Anything you care to share, I love to know about. And I want to wish everybody in the United States a very happy Thanksgiving. And I wish everyone in the world the next month of practicing deep gratitude. Deep, deep gratitude for all that we're given, from the small things to the great things. So I love you, and may you be blessed in this next month ahead. I look forward to seeing you in December. All my love. Bye for now.